you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope everyone had a good weekend. Want to tell you a little bit about something going down in Pennsylvania a few days back. They had a big, it was a fourth annual kind of a Second Amendment march of their own, where gun owners gathered together to rally about their rights. Now, this happened in Philadelphia, in the state's capital, and there was about 1,000 people there, about 1,000 people from Pennsylvania there, as well as a lot of other folks, including Ted Nugent, who got up there. As righteous as that man really, really is. I got to tip my hat to Ted Nugent on a regular basis, because not only does he stand up for the rights, but he speaks the truth without pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. And all these people got together. Now, keep in mind, 1,000 people out of the entire population of the state of Pennsylvania isn't really that much. However, 1,000 people together, banding together for one common reason and raising their hands and saying, it's our right. And you don't have the power to take away our right, makes a really big statement, even though it's a small percentage of the actual people in Pennsylvania. It does show a very large majority, or I should say, a very large group getting together and standing up for what's right on their own private Second Amendment soapbox. I'm really proud of the people of Pennsylvania that participated. I am very proud of those who traveled to Pennsylvania to help this out, including Ted Nugent, some of the other people from Gun Owners of America, NRA, other good pro-gun groups. I have found it very interesting that people are as anti-gun as they are, because they look at the actual gun itself. If you pay attention to what most people, if you never ever give anyone a gun, and you pay attention to what it is that they're concerned with, when it comes to a gun, where do they get their influence? Well, most of the time, they're getting their influence from press, negative press. There's rarely, unless you look at actual pro-gun outlets, you're not going to find pro-gun news, such as the 2020 from April 11th of this year. I encourage you to Google that and watch it in absolute disgust, the way that they absolutely just tore apart average Americans with guns, and that they also said we couldn't find a single incident where a gun was actually helpful. Well, that's because they either didn't look, or when they did find it from the people doing the research, that they didn't give it to the people actually looking at the real-life reports once the researchers got them to them. So there was a big, big, big hole in that sift. With that being said, you will only tend to find people who were anti-gun that have never had guns. So if people went on a rampage with nine irons, do you really think the same people or others would come up with the same behest and say, we need to ban nine irons because there's a rash of nine irons that are being used to hurt, maim, and even kill some people. So we need to ban nine irons. And then, because of the nine irons, they hit golf balls. We need to have passed legislation banning golf balls, or the type of golf balls you can use, or people injuring golf balls because, you know, these golf balls are bad. You can only buy a certain amount of golf balls per month. You've got to register if you're going to sell more than, you know, a dozen golf balls in a month. There's a real problem. You see how insane and idiotic this is? We'll carry on when we return from the break. Stick around.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So, have you ever been in a group air, a group setting of any kind? Maybe it was a cocktail party. Maybe it was at work. Who knows what it was. Have you ever been in a group setting where the conversation turned to something that you had no actual personal knowledge of? You only had maybe some outside information that maybe you'd heard, but didn't really know that much about it because you didn't really partake in that industry or that topic or that discussion. And then you actually get to learn a couple things because you can hear people talking about it. But if you or someone else, it becomes apparent if someone else is in that position, right? You and someone else are having a discussion, or you and a group of people are having a discussion on something. And someone who has nothing, who knows nothing about this topic, chimes in. Maybe about some BS they heard on the fringe, but it becomes incredibly apparent at the moment that they open their mouth and spit out the first few words or two. They have no idea what they're talking about. Well, I try to be as well-read as I can on a number of subjects so I can follow along with most of what's going on around society. The two guys that I know that are probably more well-read than I am is a friend of mine, Ed Winchester, who was on the phone a couple weeks back when we were talking about California AB 357, which was defeated in committee, and Dave Champion of the Dave Champion Show, 3 o'clock central here on RBN. Those two guys will outshine me when it comes to being outread on a number of things. Other than that, I like to think that I hold my own. I cannot stand when anti-gun people have an anti-gun stance, really knowing absolutely nothing about guns. All they know is what they've heard in media. Wow, that sounds bad. Well, of course it sounds bad. Because here's the thing. In order for major news outlets to exist, what they have to do is have advertisers. And the advertisers pay a rate to be on during the commercial breaks. Let's say television, for instance. They're going to go on a 2-minute break. And in that 2-minute break, they have 4 30-second commercials. Or maybe they have 2 1-minute commercials or what have you. It's broken into a 2-minute segment. In order to sell those commercials, they have to show through a rating system, usually the Nielsen rating system, how many people tend to listen to their newscasts and what their demographics are, their age, their sex, what their profession is, median household income. Nielsen does all of this, and they sell this information, and you pay to get this information. You can then take that to different advertisers, say, maybe people that it's a good beer-swilling group, so you might get Budweiser to advertise on there. Or maybe it's a group that would be good at investments. So you go to a stock brokerage firm and you go to them. In order to attract those type of advertisers, you want to attract the type of viewers that would watch those advertisers and keep the advertisers with your company spending money. Therefore, news will be slanted to try and appease those type of viewers. There is a freedom of the press, but there is not any accountability for honesty of the press. Freedom of the press, yes. Holding the press to being honest or actually giving forthright information, the answer is no. Therefore, people who listen to the press, anti-gun sentiments in the press, in the news, the regular, I don't so much want to say press, because by a technical definition, I am part of the press. However, I am just one guy that sits in a lone studio doing a radio show 1 hour a day, 5 days a week. That's as much press as I am. And I certainly couldn't get a press pass to go into some event. Although, maybe I should talk to John Stadtmiller and see if I can do that, get into some of the cool events that go on. I mean, I live right outside of Vegas. I still got that town pretty wired. Maybe I could use a press pass to get even a little bit deeper in behind the scenes. All right, John, prepare for a phone call later this week on that if you're listening, okay? Thanks. All right, again, this being said, when we have people that their only exposure to guns is what they hear about in the major media or they see the violence of in TV or movies, because, again, that sells. It's all about the money. It's not about how good or bad a gun is. It's not about how good or bad people with guns are. It's about what sells. The information that's put out there, what's going to grab the most attention. Now, are we going to hear about a woman in a church that grabbed her 9mm handgun and shot and stopped a guy who walked in there with a semi-automatic rifle who was hell-bent on killing people, got a couple rounds off before she stopped him and put him down? What's going to sell more, that or someone who went into a nursing home with a semi-auto rifle and started shooting up a bunch of patients? Which one is actually going to draw more people to listen to or read or watch? Well, it's the second one, not the first one. Because only the people who have the guns are like, yeah, score one for the good guys. All right, the rest of America expects the good guys to step up and do things. And they don't expect the good guys to get press over it. They just want to hear about the horrible tragedies. That's what keeps people glued. That's why in Colorado, when there were two mass shooting attempts a couple years back, in the same day, you heard about two of them for a moment until you found out that a lady in the church pulled out her 9mm Beretta and shot the bad guy, like right off the bat. As soon as he opened fire, she put him down, moving in on him, firing rounds into the guy's chest. He was done. Well, then they forgot about that one and then stuck with the other. Which the other one I actually forget about because I concentrate a little bit more on the good guy stuff. So which one sells? Which one gets the most people to listen? It's the tragedy, the horror, the mayhem. That's what sells. That's why that is where the major media outlets concentrate, because it sells. If they put a movie out about a good guy who uses his gun to stop people, well, that doesn't sell nearly as much as a bunch of bad guys that are out there. Look at the idea behind, what was it, the Charles Bronson movies that they had out years ago, where he was a vigilante of sorts. Somebody would come in and they did his wife and his daughter wrong, and I believe they raped and killed him. So he goes out and and exacts justice on these guys. And then the subsequent movies, he actually just goes out and starts killing people that he believes are bad. So he goes out and he's like this vigilante, righteous murderer. Yeah, great movie, guys. It shows people that even though they're honest people that go out there and have good jobs, at night they can go out and be senseless murderers because they don't like a certain segment of society. You jackasses. Putting that sort of thing out there on film. Is it entertaining to some? Yeah, it's entertaining. However, you have to realize that when people see that, they start to associate the gun with the activity of the person who's controlling the gun. So then that makes the gun good or bad. When the gun itself is a soulless, inanimate object built by people who haven't machined on machining tools and assemble the thing together. So that's where we get a lot of people who are anti-gun, is that's the influence that they've got. In order for me to be in a conversation with someone, and they start telling me their anti-gun views, well, you know, I was raised, I tell this story because my girlfriend and I have this topic. She's never heard my show, never heard it, because she was raised in back east, by a mother and a father. Her father's actually a former Marine. However, mom said, oh, we can't have any guns in the house. And mom ruled the roost. Right? So dad said, all right, whatever, honey. Kind of whipped on this whole deal. And she said, we didn't have any guns around the house. And, you know, some of the stuff that I saw on the streets with, you know, guns when I was, you know, a teenager growing up, and some of the things as an adult, all had to do with people abusing guns, abusing the possession of a gun. Never anything positive. So what about when your cute young self goes out and someone threatens you? Well, I've always got a man with me, you or anybody in the past, or, you know, I've always got someone with, even at work when I'm out and about, I got one of the guys from, you know, the place that I work out with me. There's always a man around. So she's leaving her security in the hands of everyone else. And she's certainly not alone. I bring this up because this is a mindset, because guns are looked at as an evil device. They're looked at as an evil device because of the media and because of film, whether it be the small screen or the silver screen. And this is absolutely unfair. That's why people like you and I are referred to as gun nuts. Yeah, like we're screwballs. We are right-wing extremist gun nuts. And the view of us right-wing extremist gun nuts, as they would call us, are like Bubba in the back of a pickup. Somebody's up front swilling beer, driving this, you know, multicolored four-wheel drive 1982 era Chevy pickup through the mud and the muck while we got a bunch of long guns and pistols in the back with our buddies, a cooler full of beer, mostly lit, hooting and hollering, woo-hoo, firing rounds up into the air looking for rabbits and you know, other little small creatures to kill and maim and drive over as we do Brody's in the back of the truck and then roll into town with all of our guns to scatter all the town folks in small town America with our behavior. That's really the view of the average gun owner in America by the average non-gun owner in America. Who's responsible for that? Well, we partially are. So is the major media news outlets and Hollywood. Stick with us through the break. We'll be back.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, guys, a couple of things on listener email. I'm just going to address this. I don't want to go through the entire email on this. But it's about the Second Amendment, and really, what does it hold in relation to the Constitution as a whole? Well, here's the deal. In Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 15 and 16 of the Constitution of the United States, there are actual parts of the Constitution right there that call for the bearing of arms. Okay? The Second Amendment elaborates on why the government does not have the authority to legislate on the practical duty necessary to maintain a free state. So in the Constitution, it reads that here's what you have the legitimacy of laws to pass, and this is why. Matter of fact, let me open this up. Okay. This is Article 1, so Section 8, so it's pretty early on into the Constitution, Clauses 15 and 16. Let me start this. The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. Okay, that's the main introductory paragraph to Section 8 of Article 1. Clause 15. To provide for calling forth the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. So Congress has the power given to it through the Constitution of the United States to provide for these things. Doesn't mean that they did, but it provides that they have the power to do that. Also, to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving to the states, respectively, the appointment of officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress. As long as it's all uniform, right? They have the power to pass the laws on this. So then here's the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So when they say a free state, they're not talking about the Union. The Second Amendment is not talking about the United States. The United States is not a state. The United States is a union. The United States. So essentially, the way this was written is there's, at this point in time now, 50, at the time, 13 independent state countries that all combine together to be a united nation. You get it? 13 small independent countries of their own together to one united state, right? So the Second Amendment guarantees this at an absolute even level across all states. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. Are they being infringed? You bet your ass they're being infringed. They get infringed by different legislative groups, be it at the county, state, federal level. Mostly the biggest enemy right now seems to be the state legislators. But the let me finish this whole thing on the Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. This is an area where most people seem to completely ignore. You don't necessarily carry a gun because there's bad guys out there that might harm you. But as a fellow, the founding fathers realized that there's presence of bad guys, and that presents an opportunity for them to be bad guys. So it should present an opportunity for you to carry a gun for self-defense to stop these bad guys. So that's really kind of the combination between Article 1 of the Constitution, Section 8, Clauses 15 and 16, as they are relative to the Second Amendment. Okay? So I just wanted to give that to you. Okay. Hell, where was I just before I went back to that? As the states, I'm sorry, that's where we were, with the state legislators, are really are kind of our biggest enemy when it comes to anti-guns right now. And they go after guns in the name of crime control, right? Crime prevention. So they go after guns to try to prevent crime. What they don't seem to understand, which is absolutely foreign to their way of thinking, is that armed citizens make horrible, horrible victims. If you are an armed citizen, a trained armed citizen, let me tell you, carrying a gun does nothing for you. Matter of fact, it's a hindrance as opposed to a help. A trained armed citizen is a terrible victim. An unarmed citizen makes a much, much tastier victim in the eyes of a bad guy. Put yourself in the eyes of a bad guy. This guy's got a gun. I'm not touching him. This guy or lady does not. That's who I'm going after. So what that does is it really makes the crime profession rather unattractive when it comes to person crimes. Property crimes aren't that big a deal. That's what insurance is for. So property crime away, I'm not overly concerned about that, although I would like to levy a little discipline there. But it's person crimes where we need to look at. More when we return. Stick through the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, back on another listener email, and unfortunately this thing came in a couple of weeks ago, and I just am now getting back to it. And the post office says it's a felony to carry a firearm on post office property. Okay, well, in essence, it's against federal regulation to do that. And it's got several subsets as to the exceptions to that regulation. One of them says at the very end, or for other lawful purpose. What is a lawful purpose for carrying a firearm? Well, it's exercising a right. In effect, the listener who sends in this email is asking me my opinion on it. Now, guys, I am not an attorney. So I'm going to give just my opinion. And my opinion does not by any way, shape, or form, is that intended to guide you on your daily duties when you go to the post office. In my opinion, if you wanted to go through the process, and here's the process, if I believe that simply exercising your rights is something that you're allowed to do. There is no, you can provide against carrying into a courtroom or beyond the security area of an airport for transportation such as that. If the regulation says, or for other lawful purpose, well, exercising your rights is an incredibly lawful purpose. As a matter of fact, it is the most lawful purpose we as citizens have. There is no more lawful purpose in the United States than exercising your rights, your guaranteed, unalienable rights as a citizen. There is no more lawful purpose than exercising that. So therefore, in my opinion, that last little tidbit on the regulations for carrying in a post office, which isn't necessarily, it's kind of a far offshoot of a federal facility. It's kind of its own little deal, the U.S. Postal Service. So in my opinion, carrying a gun in there is just fine. Unless you don't have unless you've done something to cause your rights to be given up to do that, such as you're a convicted felon and you're not allowed to have that gun. With that exception, that's my opinion. However, in order to enforce that, you're going to have to be willing to be potentially arrested and then fight that fight at possibly your own expense, because nobody's necessarily going to say that the NRA or GOA or anybody else is going to come to your rescue when it comes to defense. So you're going to have to fight that fight, have the time and the financial resources to fight that fight. The best way to do this is to get them to just change that regulation or eliminate it altogether. That is the most effective way of doing it, rather than having it go through all these different court cases at huge expense, to take federal laws and take the definitions of different words and phrases within the U.S. Postal Service regulation and fight them on that. However, that could garnish them to get together with their attorneys and just write a new one that's more, that's within the law. So that's my opinion on carrying guns. Some people say, what about carrying concealed? You know what? You got a concealed weapons permit. That is certainly a lawful purpose, in my opinion. If that gun needs to come out in a post office because someone's going nuts and you need to pull the gun out and shoot them, something tells me that regulation is going to be, if it's a righteous shooting, that regulation is going to come very, very, very far down on the list of anybody's radar when it comes to doing anything about it. Certainly it'll be on the anti-gunners, those, oh my God, you killed another human being, that's a sin. Let me tell you, it's not a sin. What is that particular commandment? Thou shalt not kill, correct? That's a King James version? Now, many of you are out there on the internet right now shaking your head back and forth. No, 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 no. That's not the interpretation. And you are right. The actual literal translation from Latin, from the Bible, from the original Ten Commandments Moses brought down the hill, thou shalt not murder. Now, murder and killing are two completely different things. In the end, someone is dead. But how they got to that point is a completely different set of circumstances. You want to talk about thou shalt not kill? What about all the Crusades? Remember the Crusades? Millions and millions and millions of people were killed in the name of the Lord. Matter of fact, more people have been annihilated off planet Earth in the name of religion and religious fanaticism, in my personal opinion, than anything else, than any plague, any sickness, any other war. It's religious fanaticism that has killed more people by probably the thousands of percentages than any other single thing. So thou shalt not murder is actually what that commandment should first be. The first commandment really should be thou shalt not murder, not thou shalt not kill. Some scumbag comes up and he wants to take me or the people I'm with on or potentially out, and I am under the fear that my life or serious bodily injury to myself or those around me is an imminent jeopardy of this bad guy or these bad guys, well, you bet your ass I'm pulling out my Roscoe, and these guys are going down with some serious lead holes. If they don't die of lead poisoning, they're at least going to be severely traumatized and sickened by lead poisoning. And I flat guarantee it. It's not the gun that's going to do that. It's not my gun that's going to do it. It's my mind. If I don't have a gun on me, I always have a knife on me, unless I'm flying on an airplane. And this knife that I carry with me has a 3 15/16 inch blade. Up until 9/11, up until 9/12, you could carry a 4-inch blade pocket knife on the aircraft, which is what I did. Anyhow, I always have my knife on me, with really that exception. And I will check my bags as soon as I get my bag, right there at the carousel. I'll pull my pocket knife out and stick it in my pocket. And I've trained with it. So I've always got something. If not that, it's my mindset. Anything around me becomes a weapon. It could be a chair, a desk. It could be this mixer board on top of this this huge pile of stuff here in the studio. It could be the microphone. Something's going to turn into a weapon. And I'm going to stop somebody. Or if I don't stop them, they're going to remember exactly who the hell I was by the time this incident is over and what I dealt out. So that's a mindset. So if I am, let's say you're a concealed holder in a post office and something goes awry, someone comes in and starts shooting up some of the people that are in there. Maybe their former love interest is in there and they go in there to take them out because they happen to work there. Whatever it may be, you pull the gun out and you save the day. Something tells me you're not going to get prosecuted for violating that, because it could be articulable that you had that gun in there for a lawful purpose. So I've carried concealed in post office before. How about that? Sure, why not? I'm going to take my gun out and be unarmed so I can go in and get my mail, put my gun back on? Yeah, that's ridiculous. So have I done that? Yeah, I've done that. Then this guy that sends in this email, Kenny Knapp, Steamboat Springs, Colorado, neat little place. He says, what about like a casino? Here's the thing. Casino and every other business is private property, okay? You in your home have the right to say, to tell somebody, look, I don't want you to bring your gun into my house. Or, hey, I got no problem with you bringing your gun into my house. Private property. So let me read this question. It goes, do you take the chance of a felony and maybe never being able to legally own a weapon again in the post office? And how about a casino? Most casinos have signs saying no firearms allowed. Do you open carry in a casino? Or as many do, carry concealed and possible violation of law and casino property. That is not a violation of law. Kenny, realize that. If a private business says, we don't want you to have guns, and you go in there concealed, what you're doing is you're trespassing now. You're in violation of a trespassing ordinance. So I guess it would be violation of law, but it would be trespassing. They've said, look, this is our policy. We wish for you to abide by it. The next step in trespassing laws, which are rather uniform throughout the United States, is if you violate a trespassing issue that they have put up, they ask you to rectify the situation. And if you don't, you're subject to citizen's arrest, which means usually they'd come and they would write you a ticket and you're supposed to go to court on it. If you refuse to abide by, if they post, say, in a casino or any other business, like with my power company, right? If the casino says, look, no firearms allowed, and they see you with a gun, they are obliged to come up to you, someone who is a representative of that business. In this case, again, we're talking a casino. Let's say I walk into the casino here in Pahrump. There's one called the Saddle West, and they have a sign that says, you know, no guns in the casino. Okay. If I walk in there with a gun, it is incumbent upon them to have a representative of that property, an employee, tell me, we do not allow guns in this property. You're going to have to take that out to another area. You cannot be in here with that. They have to give me the opportunity to rectify it. They cannot take me into custody and hold me because it would be a violation of a misdemeanor trespassing incident, and they have to give me the opportunity to rectify it because I may not have seen that sign. So if it's on private property, if it's not some sort of public official building, right? And a public building is could still be privately owned. Like you might have a business which is open to the public, but that doesn't make it a under any other laws. It's still private property. Okay, so if you're on private property and they don't want you to have a gun and you carry in there concealed, the next step for you to actually be confronted about it, are you technically trespassing against their wishes? Technically, yes. However, if nothing comes of it, then you're not in any jeopardy. They have to tell you what they expect. Now, I was in a casino in town here in Pahrump. And I had been working that day as a firearms instructor. I'm wearing the uniform of that. It says the place I'm working for. I'm carrying openly. I am there with eight other people, seven other people, a total of eight of us were there. Of those eight, seven were armed. Okay. Five of the eight, myself and four others, were all staff members and high-end firearms instructors. I was the only one in uniform. Everybody else was carrying concealed. Two of the others were students we'd known for a long time that were very tuned up. And then we had one who was a guest that was not carrying. As a matter of fact, it was the girl I was with at the time. On my way out, we went and we ate at the buffet. They don't have any signs at all about don't carry a gun. So on my way out, literally at the door, a guy says to me, some guy who worked in the casino, said, you know, we've had a long-standing agreement with, you know, the group that you work for, that, you know, you guys won't carry your guns in the casino. I said, well, we're in the restaurant. Well, that's considered, you know, kind of the casino area. You know, not just, or he said in the gaming area. Then he said the casino area. So he's changing his mind on this. And I said, really? Because I've worked for this organization for a long time, been a contract with them for a very long time, and I've never heard of this. How long have you been with the Nugget? Well, I've been with the Nugget for 4.5 years. Okay, well, I've been aligned with this company for 6.5 years, so 2 years longer than you. You're saying it's a long-standing agreement, and I'm here to tell you it's not. Well, you know, it's just been one of these long-standing deals. Okay, I'm telling you it has not been, or I would have heard of it. And he said, well, you know, if you could just kind of respect that. I said, you realize you have to post this. If you want people to understand this, you have to post it outdoors. Well, yeah, we just elect to tell people individually. Okay, so you have a policy, and you're telling me verbally what the policy is, but any other person within this organization can come up to me and tell me that the policy is different. How am I to know unless you post it? You're required by statute in the state of Nevada to post this, mister. So went back and forth, and I said, fine. You know something? I'm just going to take my business elsewhere. And this is a couple years ago, I probably haven't spent $200 in that place since then. And most of that has been at the bowling alley when I take my kids in there to go bowling. Right? That's about it. I've got to tell you, I said to the guy, I said, okay, you know, with me outside of this picture, this conversation is over. I got to tell you, right this very moment, because everybody I was with stayed, and they all took up positions in case anyone were to come in from the door that we were about to go out or come in from another area of the casino, which is kind of open. It's just kind of this natural thing where you don't put yourself in a position if you're going to stand around to where you could be taken advantage of. I said, let me point something out to you. I said, you see this guy and this guy and this guy and this lady and this lady and this guy and this guy and this guy. You see all these people? Right now, at this very moment, you, sir, have never been better protected in your entire life than you are right now with the group of us in your presence. The moment we walk out of here, your personal safety drops. Incredibly so. You have no idea how well protected you are right now, and you'll probably never be better protected again in your entire life. I thank you for kicking me out of your casino. And we walked out. And sure enough, the guy's personal security went to squat. Considering the firepower that we all had and the training with it. So keep that in mind, just one of my little stories when it's about carrying a gun on private property. If they say no guns, well, then no business. Let me grab a card. One second. have this little card. Dave Champion has a bunch of these. And it shows a picture of a semi-automatic handgun with a circle and a line through it, equals, and then the dollar symbol with a circle and a line through it. And it says, we have noticed your sign and are going to respect your wishes by shopping elsewhere. Then on the back it says, as a concealed firearms license holder, I have no felony convictions lifetime. And no Class A or B misdemeanors within the last 5 years. Passed both state and federal fingerprint and background checks. No delinquent conduct within the past 10 years. Not delinquent in child support, student loans, or state or local taxes. How much do you know about your other customers? And this is something that if you carry concealed, you would leave at a private business that says, we don't want guns in here. And then you stop shopping there. You stop giving them their money. Costco. I am told that Costco has a regulation that says you can't take guns in there. I have never seen it. And I have carried my gun in Costco in Las Vegas and not had anybody say anything. I have heard they have a regulation, but I've never actually seen it, nor has anybody who's ever worked there ever said anything to me. And I've packed in Costco before. Then again, I'm packing all the time, and I make a statement by packing openly because I can in the state of Nevada. I know I'm not going to be anybody's victim unless they're really cracked up and hell-bent to get shot. They're not coming after me. So I just eliminate a lot of criminals. Stick around through the break.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Karnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for sticking around through the break. So essentially what we've got is the question about where do our rights stop? And your rights essentially stop at certain areas for what would be considered like in a courthouse. I shouldn't say your rights stop. They can be somewhat, or I shouldn't say they can be. They are somewhat restricted in areas such as a courthouse because lots of emotion can be there. And people can be rather emotional in a courtroom. If you haven't seen that, take time sometime this month to go down to local courthouse and just sit there and watch stuff. Just see how things go. Can be one of the most emotional places you'll ever go. So to not have the citizenry armed inside that area, that's a regulation that's been upheld in a number of areas. When it comes to private property, you are in control of your private property. So think of it, if I'm going to go into this store, I should be allowed to carry my gun. Put yourself in the shoes of a store owner. It's your property. You're there doing business. You're there under the guise of creating your own life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and you open the store to help further that pursuit. You should have the right in your store on your property to make the rules however the hell you want. Would you agree? It's your right. It's your property. If people don't want to come in and spend money with you, then fine. They can go down the road. So you would want people to respect your rules. And if your rules are, don't have a gun exposed in my store, well, then fine. You want people to respect that. But they're under no obligation to have to spend money with you. So keep that in mind. If someone else is ignorant enough to not want you to have your gun on when you go into their place of business, that's fine. Don't patronize that business. Go elsewhere. That's what I do. The NRA annually publishes a list of companies that donate to Handgun Control Incorporated, now known as the Brady Campaign. They're out there to take away your guns. Now, and one of the big ones that's out there is Ben & Jerry's. And I got to tell you, I love Ben & Jerry's ice cream, but I don't eat it anymore because they give money to the Brady Campaign, lots of it. You know, Lee Iacocca, when he was CEO of Chrysler Corporation, used to personally, not through the corporation, but personally give money to the Brady Campaign. I would not buy a Chrysler product as much as I frothed for one until Lee Iacocca retired. He retired in late 96, early 97. In 97, I bought a brand new Dodge Ram pickup. Probably my favorite vehicle I've ever owned, that particular truck. Since then, I have not been without a Chrysler product, at least one, because I really dig them. At one point in time, we had, two Jeeps and a Dodge. I've had two Dodges and a Jeep as well. I mean, I've always had that. That's what I enjoy. So you do not have to spend your money with people who don't want you to exercise your rights or your ability to self-protection, a basic God-given right to not be the victim of a crime. If someone tells you can't do that here on my property, then screw them and go elsewhere. Spend your money with somebody who does honor your rights. Thanks for sticking around, folks. You can get the archives at 2aradio.com and send me emails. See you tomorrow.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.